When things are at their worst, God is working most. When things are at their worst, God is working most. This is a time of opportunity. Our April memory scripture is Romans 8:28, which I talked about at one of the daily times. That is it really true, and is it always true, or do in our subconscious do we set some things aside that God it doesn't actually deliver on this promise? Romans 8:28. Let's say it together. Romans 8:28. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good for those who are called according to his purpose. Romans 8:28. Even COVID-19 pandemic, even economic distress, even difficulties, even if you get sick, even if someone you know passes away, God always works things for good as we trust and obey. It's his guarantee. So in relationship with that, connected with that, we started talking about Jehoshaphat. And so if you've downloaded the notes, you have those in front of you. If you don't, the reference is in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. But last week we looked and we saw Jehoshaphat was king of Judah, a godly king who had led the people of Judah back to God. He had sent his emissaries, priests, Levites, officials out to all the people for some 17 years, teaching the people the book of the law so that they would obey him, so they would know the true God. Last week we saw that Jehoshaphat was king of Judah and he walked with God. He was led into disobedience by Ahab's personality, but God protected him. Ahab died in that battle, but God protected Jehoshaphat because he was stupid and not defiant. I don't know that that word is in the original Hebrew, but the truth is there. God puts up with us when we're stupid, but he gets in our face when we're defiant. And so Jehoshaphat was just influenced to go and do something stupid. God protected him, brought him back to be king of Judah, and he went back to what he should have been doing all along, and that is bringing people back in this reformation program to come back to God. But then after he had been king for some 20-some years, 17 to 20 years, he faced an impossible situation. And here's the situation. It was a real danger in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Beginning over, let's go to verse 2. Some men came and told Jehoshaphat, "A great multitude is coming against you from Edom, from beyond the sea, and behold, they are already in Gedi." That is real close. And so it's a real danger. It's these masses, these hordes of people that there's no way that the nation of Judah can stand up against. And so it was a real danger. And last week we talked about what we're facing in our world right now is a real danger. It was real fear. In verse 3 it says, "Then Jehoshaphat was afraid." And I think in parentheses sometimes the Bible ought to put, duh. Of course he's afraid, because that's the response that people have when they're facing annihilation, when they're facing danger. He was afraid. But then it was real danger, real fear, then a real choice. And this is how we overcome fear. Panic or lean on God? Do we panic or lean on God? And so he set his face to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. Fasting, giving up what is legitimately ours in order to seek God, to follow God. And so when these kind of situations come, we seek the Lord himself. Not just what he can do, but we seek the Lord for who he is. And then we seek the Lord for help together. Verse 4, Judah assembled to seek help from the Lord, from all the cities of Judah that came to seek the Lord. And then real trust that was developed over years of seeking God. When we face these kinds of difficulties that we are in today, they don't make us people of God. They reveal whether we are or not. And so the fact that Jehoshaphat turned to God was a result of years and years and years of turning to God. And so these are the times, not when people are made, but these are the times when our character is revealed. And so he had developed trust over the years of surrender, listening, and obeying. And now as a result, he leaned into God. And so I would say to you again, I've been saying it in multiple ways, don't waste this time. This is a time to trust God in ways that we can't when things are going well, when things are whatever normal is. Don't waste it. Lean into God and allow him to develop a deeper trust, to allow him to develop deeper character in you to become more and more, because difficulty reveals who we are. So we talked all about that. And then the practical steps, let me hit them very quickly and then move on, pick it up where we were last week. The practical steps, number one, recognize who God is. Jehoshaphat stood in the assembly of Judah in Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court and said, O Lord, God of our fathers, are you not the God of heaven? You rule over all the kingdoms of the nations. In your hand are power and might so that none is able to withstand you. So one of the practical reactions is to recognize who God is. Every time you start to get afraid by something that you hear in the news, remember, go back to God and say to yourself, God is bigger. God is bigger. Recognize that God is bigger. Number two, remember what God has done. Look back, check back to see how God has worked. Did you not, verse 7, did you not, our God, drive out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel and give it forever to the descendants of Abraham, your friend? And they have lived in it and they have built for you in it a sanctuary for your name. Remember what God has done. After 17 years of being the king and after watching God work over and over and over and over, having experienced God's protection, even when he did something stupid with Ahab, God, he could look back and God is working. God is on our side. God is for us. All of Passion Week tells us that Jesus is on our side. The reason he went through all of that was because he's on our side. And we need to continue to remember that. God is not against us. God is for us. And when we have those two things, when we're taking those two steps, God is bigger, God is for us, God will take care of us, he will always take care of us, and the worst thing that can happen is not dying. The worst thing that can happen is that we turn away from God. But when we do this, it gives us a freedom. Have you noticed how much humor, how much people are making fun of some of the stuff that's happening right now? We can do that when we have the freedom of knowing God's in control. God's bigger, God's in control, God's working. So I can have fun. Nate Grable, if you're watching, it's all this next 45 seconds is all your fault. Here's something he sent yesterday. I don't usually show advertisements, but here's one that I thought you would enjoy.
Authentic, bespoke, raw, artisanally crafted toilet paper. Pulped and hand perforated, the way toilet paper used to be. Come with us as we roll back 100 years of innovation. Introducing Quilted Northern Rustic Weave. Craft you can feel in every square. It's tissue that's genuinely tree to toilet. For a more memorable bathroom experience. New Quilted Northern Rustic Weave. Also available in small batch, cedar loom, and extra virgin birch. Quilted Northern Rustic Weave. Designed to be remembered.
See, when you got nothing to lose, you can just laugh at that, right? Yep. If the worst thing that ever happens to us is we run out of toilet paper, we've had an easy life, right? Number three, the third step, is to recount the reality of the situation. So the fact that we remember who God is, or we recognize who God is, remember what he's done, doesn't mean we live in denial. It doesn't mean we pretend that nothing is happening when we face difficult situations, impossible situations. But we take a hard look at seeing it for what it is. He goes on in verse 9, he says, if you have said, if disaster comes upon us, the sword, judgment, or pestilence, or famine, we will stand before this house, God's house, where his presence dwelt in the Old Testament, and before you, for your name is in this house, and cry out to you in our affliction, and you will hear and you will save. So that's what you've told us. That's the situation. And now, behold, the men of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, whom you would not let Israel invade, when they came from the land of Egypt, and whom they avoided and did not destroy, behold, they reward us by coming to drive us out of your possession, which you have given to us to inherit. O God, will you not execute judgment on them? For we are powerless against this great horde that is coming against us. That wasn't a statement of lack of faith. That was a statement of reality. And true Christ followers live in reality. We don't live in pretend land. We live in reality. And there are some times when we face impossible situations. But nothing is impossible for God. Impossible to us, but not impossible to God. And I love this next verse. I think I bolded it and highlighted it and everything I could. We do not know what to do, but our eyes are on you. We don't know what to do. That's the reality of the situation. There's hundreds of thousands of soldiers coming, and they will annihilate us if you don't do something. That's the reality of the situation. We don't know what's going to happen in our world. It could be really bad before it's all over. And my personal opinion is the worst is not over. The worst is yet to come. But God is bigger, and God has always worked. God understands the situation, and we put our eyes on him. And then number four is that we receive God's words of both assurance and instruction. Assurance that he is in charge. He is God. And instruction of what we're supposed to do. Meanwhile, all Judah stood before the Lord with all their little ones, their wives, their children. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, son of Benaniah, son of Jael, son of Mattaniah, Levite of the sons of Asaph, in the midst of the assembly. And he said, so the Holy Spirit came upon him, filled him, and gave him this word. Listen, all Judah, inhabitants of Jerusalem, and King Jehoshaphat. Thus says the Lord to you. When we surrender, listen, and obey, God will speak to us. God will show us. Because God wants us to follow him more than we want to follow him. And he's working behind the scenes all the time. He's working on our behalf all the time. And so God visits, and he will speak. And so here's what he says. First, he gives them assurance. I love this because it tells us who God's character really is. Do not be afraid and do not be dismayed at this great horde, for the battle is not yours, but God's. That's what he says to every single one of us. Every time you face a situation that you can't handle and you go to him and say, we don't know what to do, but our eyes on you. These are the words of assurance that he will give you in some way, shape, or form. Don't be afraid. Do not fear. Someone has said they've counted 365 times that the Bible says in some form, don't be afraid. One for every single day of the year. Why? Because our tendency is to be afraid, but God's assurance is we don't have to. Do not be afraid. And do not be dismayed. That's an even deeper level. Don't be afraid emotionally, and don't be dismayed at the circumstance. In other words, this is not going to work out badly for you. The battle is not yours, but God's. Did you know when Jesus rides into Jerusalem and he issues that challenge, either crown me or kill me, for those who crown him Lord of all, your battles are no longer yours. They belong to the Lord. Because you belong to the Lord. He's Lord. Lord and King means he is in charge of the kingdom, not you. You're a servant, and so you just follow what he says to do. So no matter what you're facing, no matter, and it could be nothing that's even remotely related to the COVID-19 thing. My best friend growing up, about 2.5 weeks ago, his wife died suddenly. She'd been sick. It wasn't the COVID-19 thing. She had health problems for all of her life. Maybe I maybe even told you this. And Jim, if you're watching, just know our hearts are with you, our prayers are with you. But she'd been sick for a little bit, and her body just couldn't take it anymore. She went down here on Thursday. By Friday morning, she was gone. That's hard. That's a battle that every one of us face with loved ones. Either we're going to die or they're going to die. But you know what? The problem is not yours. The problem belongs to God. He wants to carry it. That's what it means to trust and obey. The battle is not. So don't be afraid. Whatever you face, don't be afraid and don't be dismayed. And so he gives them that assurance. Then he gives them instructions. Tomorrow go down against them. Behold, they will come up by the ascent of Ziz. You will find them at the end of the valley, east of the wilderness of Jeruel. God knew it's like God is a spy. I don't know if he had drones flying over top to see exactly where everybody was. But that would give them both assurance and instruction, because I know where they are. You had people coming to you. You had people reporting to you that they were there. I already knew they were there. This doesn't surprise me. Nothing that we're going through right now surprises God. The COVID-19 thing doesn't surprise God. He knows it's there. And so he says, that's where they are. You will not need to fight in this battle. Stand firm. Hold your position and see the salvation of the Lord on your behalf, O Judah and Jerusalem. Do not be afraid. Do not be dismayed. He says it again. Tomorrow, go out against them and the Lord will be with you. I love this whole idea. You don't have to fight this battle. I got this. Don't be discouraged. Don't be dismayed. Just go out. Now, what's interesting is he doesn't tell them what to do when they go out. Just go out. You're not going to have to fight, so leave your swords at home, but what are we going to do? Just go out. One step at a time. One step at a time, and I'll lead you as you go forward. So that's where we got last week. What time is it? Oh, we got another 2 hours. Number five is respond with God-focused obedience. Respond with God-focused obedience. So here we've got God. When we receive God's word of instruction, be encouraged and follow me. Be encouraged and follow me. And at this point is the choice. Are you going to crown Jesus or are you going to kill him? Are you going to make him Lord and do what he says, or are you going to set him aside? Now, we don't call it killing Jesus, but it's just the same thing as putting him aside. If we don't obey, if we don't do exactly what he says. It occurred to me, and it must be the Holy Spirit because I'm not this smart, that periodically through history, there's always something that happens in the history of man to reveal that he is not in control. And so I got to thinking, you know, because we think this is, you know, this COVID-19 is, if you listen to the news, it's the worst thing that's ever happened in the history of mankind. But then it just started coming to mind. And so a lot of people were talking about the Spanish flu of 1918 to 20, you know, somewhere in there, 100 years ago, when mankind faced something that they could not control. And you go back in the Bible, you see, when man thought he was so smart, he was going to build a tower all the way up to heaven called the Tower of Babel. Remember that story? And God said, nah, you're not. And they all started speaking different languages, and then they dispersed. We're studying, digging deeper the last couple of weeks about Noah. Man got so evil and prideful and thought he was in control. God sent a flood. And I think if you track back through the history of mankind, there's always something. There's always something that will reveal to man that he is not in control. Now, I think sometimes God does it. I think sometimes God allows it. But it's about turning to God. That's why I say don't waste this. Do not waste this, because it's an opportunity for us to know God better, because God is revealing himself. God is revealing things to us about ourselves and about our culture that cannot be revealed in any other time when this is all said and done. So do not give in to fear. Do not waste this time. Do not give in to fear. Do not give in to fear. And one of the reasons is because you get stupid when you do. Just listen to what's happening in our world. Some of the decisions that are being made, it's just because people are stupid. And it's not because they're generally stupid. It's because fear, panic, adrenaline, it just causes them to say things and do things. So over the last few years, one of the things I've got into is walking trails. I love to walk trails. And so I'm on this Facebook page for the Montour Trail, and some of the chatter has been, well, you know, people are congregating there. We ought to shut down the trail. And so somebody posted this picture. You can see this. That's a man who's 6 feet tall. And the guideline is stay 6 feet apart from each other. And people are going, no, we need to shut down the trail because we can't stay 6 feet apart. That's just stupid, right? That's just dumb thinking. That's just, you're not using your head when you get fearful. So the truth is you can stay at least 8 feet apart. Walk the trail. It's not me. No, it is not me. Not me. It's not, I'm more handsome than that. But I can tell you exactly where on the trail that is. So respond with God-focused obedience. And so their first response was to praise. Verse 18, then Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, overwhelmed with the assurance in the care of God and the power of God. You know, sometimes what overwhelms me the most is when I see God doing things that just assures me that he loves me. Things that he didn't have to do, but he does just because he loves us and he cares. And I think Jehoshaphat was just overwhelmed by that kind of care and God's promise. And so he fell with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell down before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. And the Levites of the Kohathites and the Korahites stood up to praise God. They were the priests, the tribe of Levi, the God of Israel, with a very loud voice. And so the first response is to thank God, praise him, honor him, submit to him, surrender to him, worship him. Now, understand, if they don't hear God's voice, they're dead. If they don't turn to God, if they decide to try to handle it on their own, if they don't fall down and worship to God, if they don't, out of their fear, turn to God, they're done because they don't give God a chance to fight the battle for them. They'll be destroyed. But simply because they turned to God and said, we don't know what to do. Our eyes are on you. We will do whatever you ask. God took over. And so it's out of that kind of gratitude that they fall down to worship. Verse 20. So what instructions do they have so far? Go out tomorrow. What kind of fighting of a battle is that? It's kind of like when God said to Abraham, go. Well, go where? Just start walking north and I'll tell you when you get there. Same thing. That's trust and obey. So they rose early in the morning and they went out into the wilderness of Tekoa. And when they went out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah. Hear me, Judah, inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God. Believe, meaning put your full trust. That word believe does not mean a head knowledge. It means a life application obedience. Believe in the Lord your God, and you will be established. Believe his prophets who and the words that they've spoken, and you will succeed. And when they had taken counsel with the people, which means the words that he just spoke, he appointed those who were to sing to the Lord and praise him in holy attire as they went before the army and say, give thanks to the Lord, for his steadfast love endures forever. His steadfast love endures forever. His steadfast love endures forever. That's a statement of someone who has walked with God and seen God show up over and over and over. So your steadfast love endures forever. And when they began to sing and praise, the Lord set an ambush against the men of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, who had come against Judah so that they were routed. So God says, okay, go out in the morning. And then they show up, they praise God, and they start singing. Because praising God is always appropriate. He didn't tell them what to fight, where to go, anything. They just started praising God, and God shows up. They started just worshiping him, God shows up. There's power in turning to God and letting God do what he wants. And so they it was when they began to sing and praise that God showed up. Now look, listen to me. This is a week of prayer and fasting. It is when we turn to God with serious seeking him, surrendering and listening and obey that God shows up. Man's thinking is, if God tells me how he will show up, then I will fast and pray. It's, you know, which is important in human relationships, right? If I go to the bank and I say, I want to get a loan, before I sign that paper, I want to know what the interest rate is, what the terms of it is, what's the day. You know, I want to know everything. I want to know what you're going to do for me before I sign. We can't carry that to God because it's not a contract. It's a relationship with a holy God who is in control and has our best interest in mind. And so what do? We just give ourselves to him. We just start praising him. It's when we step out and worship him and honor him and obey him, he starts the work. We take that first step, and God takes over the battle. So they began to sing and praise, and then the Lord set an ambush against them. Number six. So they respond with God-focused obedience. Number six, they receive and experience God at work. God didn't tell them how he was going to do it. And as I read the story, sometimes I wonder if God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit and the angels aren't huddled up there and go, how can we do this in such a way that it will shock them the most? How can we do this in such a way that it will be beyond a shadow of a doubt that we are God? Because what happens next is dumbfounding. It's inexplainable. It's beyond comprehension. For the men of Ammon and Moab rose against the inhabitants of Mount Seir, devoting them to their destruction. Now, I can understand that. You know, you've got three different countries fighting this battle. And so the three, you know, I can understand an argument. Okay, so an argument breaks out, and two of them turn on the one and destroy them. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, they all helped to destroy one another. So they kill all the people from one country, and then they turn on each other and destroy each other. Now, at some point, it has to come down to two people left, right? And they look at each other, and then they, we're going to kill each other too. They destroy. That makes no human sense, does it? The only explanation is God arranged it all. And so Judah, verse 24, they came to the watchtower of the wilderness. They looked toward the horde that was about to annihilate them. And behold, there were dead bodies lying on the ground. None had escaped, not one. Nobody got away. Then Jehoshaphat and his people came to take their spoil. They found among them in great numbers goods, clothing, and precious things, which they took for themselves until they could carry no more. They were 3 days in taking the spoil. It was so much. Now, 24 hours before, or 48 hours before, they get word that they're about to be destroyed. The country is going to be annihilated. They call a fast, and they seek God. And 24 hours before, a prophet of God speaks through one of his prophets. At that point, they would be happy if it just goes away. That it never happens. But God says, go out, and instead of it just being delivered, he gives them so many supplies that it takes 3 days for all those people to haul it away. When God works, he doesn't just deliver, he provides. Now this is another very important, like nothing else I've said is important so far, but this is really important. When you face something difficult, God doesn't want to just deliver. He wants to provide. And in this case, it was physical supplies, you know, in that day. You know, when you face something difficult, God wants to provide. And the most valuable resource is a depth of spiritual, emotional, mental stability and strength that comes by His Spirit being in charge. Through surrender, as we give Him more of ourselves, that brings pleasure that Jesus talks about when He says the abundant life. I've come to give you life and to the full. I've come to give you abundant life. Pleasure in Him, confidence in Him that nothing can destroy. It's this story is unbelievable. 3 days. Now, human nature being as it is, once this world has all the toilet paper it needs, the tendency is to go back to being satisfied and forget that there was ever any danger. To forget that God provided or God took care of us, but not these people. And you know why? Because they'd spent the last 2 decades hearing the word of God and being pulled back to Him. There was a depth to them. And so number 7 is that we need to rejoice and live in all of God. Rejoice and live in the all of God. So verse 26, on the 4th day they assemble. So how long did it take them to gather all this stuff and take it back? 3 days. On the 4th day, instead of forgetting God, they assembled in the valley of Berakah, for there they blessed the Lord. As soon as they had done all they needed to do, they went back to the source of the blessing, God Himself. Instead of walking, affluence has a way of causing us to be even not hostile to God, but just kind of numb to God. We get back into our sense of control, and we don't think about it anymore. You know, after 9/11, people flocked to houses of worship, and all of Congress gathers on the steps and call prayer gatherings and all that kind of stuff. And then a year or two later, the churches are right back where they were before. Because when the danger is gone, then we don't pay attention like we should anymore. But not these people and not you. That's why I say don't waste this time. Therefore, the name of that place has been called the Valley of Berakah to this day. Then they returned, every man of Judah and Jerusalem and Jehoshaphat at their head, returning to Jerusalem with joy, for the Lord had made them rejoice over their enemies. The Lord, they recognized, it wasn't anything they did, it was the Lord. They came to Jerusalem with harps and lyres and trumpets to the house of the Lord, and the fear of God came on all the kingdoms of the countries when they heard that the Lord had fought against the enemies of Israel. So the realm of Jehoshaphat was quiet, for his God gave him rest all around. It was not just about them. It was about God's reputation. Because these people had worshiped the Lord, God took care of them. Think about this, church. As we go through this time, as we surrender and listen and obey, as we follow God and be the church, be the salt, be the light, be the aroma of Christ, make this our finest hour and come out on the other side of it, what we want is for people to look at us and say, God is with them. This isn't about them. This is about the God of the universe. It's about the reputation of God. Because from this point on, nobody wanted to mess with Judah not because of Jehoshaphat, but because God was with them. God's reputation was exalted. That's what we want. I don't want people looking at me and going, wow, Herb's really handsome and, you know, he's smart, and I want them to look at me and go, how can God even use that guy? God must be really big. God must be really strong. God must really love people. That's what we want. It wasn't about them. It happened not because of who they are, but because of who God is and how God loves them. And they went through all of this together. It wasn't just Jehoshaphat the king. It wasn't just the people. It was all of them together. God called them to fast, they fasted. God called them to pray, they prayed. God called them, Jehoshaphat called them to sing, they sang. They praised God, they worshiped Him together. They came through it together. It seems like life is changing hourly. Information is coming so fast and so furious. And frankly, I don't know how much to believe, how much not to believe. It's just it's unmanageable. Even if everybody had the best interest in mind, it's just unmanageable. We are in a time that proves to us that man is not in control. Not in control of the world, not in control of the country. We're not even in control of our own lives. That fast, we could be gone, right? We need to lean into God. Lean into God. And so during this Holy Week, I encourage you to take the time to lean into God, like Jehoshaphat and the people of Judah did, to be able to go to God and say, we don't know what to do, but our eyes are on you, and we know who God is. So let me encourage you again. Let me, this week, pray and fast. However God wants you to fast, do it. This week, look at Jesus' final week. Look at Jesus' life and all that he did and the things leading up to the crucifixion. Join me on that live cast or watch him on a replay if you want to. And let's look at each one of those days and leading up to Good Friday and all that Jesus did. And then next Sunday, let's be together again to celebrate Easter. Our lives are not our own. There are those points in history to prove that man is not in control. I said that already. But there's a higher lesson. It's to show who God really is. That God could reveal himself. Let's let God reveal himself to us as we go through this week. Would you bow your heads and think for just a moment? Beyond the things that are happening in our culture with social distancing and people getting sick, people dying, what is it that you're facing that you need to surrender? Might be a personal health issue, might be a relationship, might be economics related to what's happening or even before it started happening. Might be an uncertain future. Truth was, your future was uncertain even before all this hit, but God knew. What are you still trying to control that you need to surrender? Let God have it. And then listen for his instructions. And then do whatever he tells you to do. Would you do that right now? Just, Lord, I give it to you. I surrender everything I know to surrender. Show me anything else that I need to surrender. Lord, give me your instructions. I'm listening. Lord, I will obey. Give me your strength. Show me how. Give me the ability. Lord, I pray for each person that you would lead them to a depth of connection and relationship with you that is beyond anything that they've ever experienced or maybe even imagined. God, that you would use difficulty, you would use your truth, you would use other people to lead them to that. Lord, we don't like it when we have to face impossible situations, but that was the only way you could get Jehoshaphat to experience all that you are. So if it takes difficulty, Lord, we offer ourselves to you in surrender. Just help us to keep putting our eyes upon you. And as we do, Lord, would you shine through us so that other people will see you in us and give praise to your name. Lord, we put ourselves in your hands. Make this week something really deep and strong and powerful in us and in a way that it will glorify you. In the name of Jesus, we pray.